some of the things that perhaps we can ponder about what happened on the cross. And I want to take as the verse, not a verse from the Gospels, but a verse from Galatians. "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Famous verse from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And again, in one of our hymns, that thought came through: "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my God." All that Paul knew, all his knowledge, all his understanding, all his wisdom, he could, you know, these days he'd be a top professor in some, you know, Bible college, or he'd be earning great money at a university. But he wasn't interested in that. All he wanted to know, all he wanted to proclaim, all he wanted to glory in, if you like, was the cross of Jesus Christ. It was the central driving force of his life as he went from town to town, city to city, preaching, establishing churches. At the centre of it all was the cross of Jesus Christ. He grasped what Jesus had done for him, and he knew that Jesus could do the same for anyone. He said before he met Christ on that Damascus road that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. He had been, he said elsewhere, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was so zealous for God. And then Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and completely changed his life. You couldn't have had somebody further away from being a follower of Jesus. Suddenly, in an instant, his life is changed because he has had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And the revelation comes to him that Jesus truly was the Son of God. And what Jesus did on the cross was to take away all of his wrongdoing, to enable him to be declared righteous before a holy God. And he knew Jesus could do the same for everybody else. That's inspired him, it spurred him on, and I pray that will spur us on as well, that we recognise just the power that there is in this wondrous cross. It's an amazing truth, the truth of the gospel, that at the cross, Jesus was reconciling men with God once and for all. The barrier between sinful man and a holy God was destroyed forever in his shattered body through his shed blood. It's a wonderful story. But it's not just a story, it's truth. It's liberating truth. And that's what Paul grasped. He said, I don't want to boast about anything. I just want to boast about what Jesus has done on the cross. As far as the world is concerned, it means it can offer nothing compared to what Jesus has done on the cross for him and for us all. So, when we look at the cross, sometimes we may have lots of different responses. And some people respond differently to the story. Some people, they almost feel pitiful. Oh, isn't this a shame? Isn't it a shame that Jesus went to die on a cross? Isn't it, poor Jesus, to have to go through that? But I don't think the death of Jesus is something to evoke pity. Jesus chose to go to the cross. He willingly gave his life. This was no accident. It was purposeful. Amen? So let's not sit there and think, isn't it a shame that it took Jesus going to the cross to save us? Oh, isn't it a pity? Surely there must have been a nicer way. Couldn't God just have forgiven us anyway? No. Sin is serious and needed to be dealt with. So let's not see it as something that Jesus needed to be pitied. If we see somebody suffering, we pity them, don't we? It's a natural thing to do. But at the cross, Jesus willingly did it. It was necessary. Secondly, some people, and especially around Good Friday, they mourn about it, and we can get very, you know, sorrowful about it. Yeah? And that, and again, that can be quite understandable. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Yeah, in this age when we talk or hear lots about justice and the rights of people, this was one of the most unjust acts imaginable. You know, we're now reading Pilate tried to get Jesus, as it were, off the hook a number of times. I don't find him guilty. I'll chastise him, I'll whip him and I'll let him go. But the people cried out, crucify him. And it can be seen as a very mournful thing. You know, again, when people go through tough times, we may mourn alongside them. At the centre of it all is a cruel, very cruel death. So why do I say we shouldn't mourn about it? What I say we should mourn about is our sin. That's what we should mourn about. Our sin made it possible. But the reality of what Jesus did is not something to mourn, it is something to be thankful for. Not to be mournful about. Let's mourn over our sin that sent him there, but let's not mourn over the event, because that is the event at Calvary is the liberating point for mankind from the power of sin and death and hell. So let's not mourn about it. Mourn for our sin, yes. Thirdly, some people say, oh, isn't it a shame? Again, couldn't there have been a better way? Very regretful about it. I'm sure there could have been another excuse. An innocent man, isn't it terrible? I regret that it was necessary for it to happen. Well, let's not regret what happened. Again, let's regret that it's our sin that sent him there. That meant he had to go there. But again, let's not regret what he did. Let's not regret what Jesus did. Because as I say, it is the most wonderful, liberating truth. The liberation of mankind from the power of sin. So let's not feel regretful about it. Fourthly, some people try to simply explain it away. They say, well, yes, it was a mistake. Yes. Isn't it terrible? Miscarriage of justice. But you know what? Some people say he didn't really die. You know, he's just a spiritually dead. Spiritual death. You know, he didn't really die. He came to in the tomb. You know, in the cold of the tomb, he revived because he wasn't really dead. Yes, he was dead. The Romans knew how to crucify people. They did it almost every day. They knew. After those hours hanging on the cross, being asphyxiated on the cross, and then having a spear thrust in his side, he was dead. The Romans knew a dead person when they saw one. He was definitely dead. Oh, yes, but all sorts of reasons people want to explain away. Often because they don't want to have to deal with the truth of the gospel that says actually it was their sin that placed him there, that made it necessary. Let's not explain away the cross. Let's not explain away how terrible it is, because some people get upset when you talk about, you know, the crown of thorns and the nails. We looked at that this morning, didn't we, in the walk of witness, and the spear and the terrible rejection and the whipping and so on. You know, we want it all nice and sanitized. You know, but no, it was an ugly, horrible death. Let's not diminish what Jesus went through. He went through it all for you and me. So don't explain it away. And 50, some people, it's an intellectual exercise. And they'll philosophize about it. They'll discuss this theory and that theory, and it could have been this and it could have been that. And we can see it in this way and we can see it in that way. And if we look at this particular theological viewpoint, we can look at it in this way. And if you look at another theological viewpoint, we can look at it another way. No, let's look at the bare facts that Jesus died for us. He died for sinners to set us free. He died because the Father sent him on that mission to liberate mankind from the power of sin. Let's not philosophize, but let's just accept it for what it is. Amen? So let's not pity or engender pity about the cross or mourn about it or be regretful that it had to happen or try and explain it away and sanitize it. And let's not philosophize about it. Let's just accept it. Amen? So What should we do about the death of Jesus? I've already alluded to that already. But first of all, I believe, like Paul, we need to proclaim it. To proclaim it. And not just at Easter. You know, the cross of Jesus Christ isn't just a seasonal event, if you like. The cross of Jesus Christ hangs over all the year. And the message of the cross is relevant whenever it is. You know, the message of the cross is just as relevant at Christmas as it is Easter. Because the whole reason Jesus came was to be the Saviour on the cross. There is every opportunity, take every opportunity to proclaim the death of Jesus on the cross. To talk to people about it. Because it's what's going to set people free. Amen. It's going to change their life. Just as Paul said, you know, I boast in it. Now, if you boast about something, what do? You tell everybody about it, don't you? You know, you've had a really good exam result. The whole world knows it. And these days on Facebook, probably the whole world does. Yeah? If you had some great achievement in sport, you've got a new job. Even the best of us, we boast a little bit about it. I've managed to do this, I've managed to do that. Now, you know, at times there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't, you know, get your head so big it won't go through the door and you're full of pride. But when you boast, you tell people, don't you? And Paul said, forbid it, Lord, that I boast about anything other than the cross of Jesus. So we proclaim it. Secondly, and this is an odd one for a Good Friday, rejoice over it. If it's all somber, Good Friday, let's rejoice over what Jesus did. Let's rejoice about it, because it sets people free. You know, we want to see people free of the power of the enemy. We want people brought into the kingdom of light and out of darkness, don't we? So let's rejoice over the cross of Jesus Christ. I know, you know, I'm waiting for the day when somebody writes a Good Friday hymn that's full of rejoicing. Because you know what? I think there's an element there that we need to do. We need to rejoice over the fact of what Jesus has done. Amen? Next, we've got to really recognise that it's God's means of salvation for us. That's what the cross is all about. You know, people like to have their own scheme. Well, you know, you can get close to God if you do this, and you get close to God to do that, and you can be acceptable to God if you do this, that, and the other. And the truth of the matter is, no, nothing we can do can make us right with God. Nothing we can do can draw us close to God except through the cross of Jesus Christ. Except through accepting his sacrifice on our behalf, except through for mourning about our sin, repenting of it, we cannot become the friends of God. We cannot come into his family unless we come through the cross of Jesus. There's no other way than the cross of Jesus Christ to set men and women free, and boys and girls as well, whatever age. Amen? We need to recognise it's God's means of salvation. This was no accident. This was God's plan from before the beginning of time. We're told in the Bible that God has chosen his children before anything was even spoken into being. We sang that song, The Servant King, talk about, you know, hands that flung stars into space. It's poetic, but it's a beautiful picture that God did all that wonderful creation. But before that, he already knew us. In his mind, he knew us. He knew this day. He knows all about us. And God chose the way of sacrifice to bring us into his family. Now, we might say we surely could have found a better way than that. I'm not going to argue with God. He chose the way. I accept it. And I'm glad. You know, in some ways, I'm glad it wasn't me that had to pay the price on a cross. Amen? Because Jesus has done it all. Jesus has done it. It's his means of salvation for us. The death of Jesus on the cross is something to respond to. You know, when we read the accounts of the crucifixion in whichever gospel account, you know, I don't know, at times for me, my heart leaps. Oh, he did it for me. He saw me. He saw my sin, and he still loved me to go through that. And there needs to be a response, isn't there? To say, I want to give my heart to a man that did this for me. I want to serve him in however way I can. It might not be very good at times, but I just want to respond to that love. that self-sacrificing love of Jesus. So the death of Jesus is something to respond to and to respond positively to. Yeah? So if we're going to respond, how can we respond? First of all, we do have to recognise that Jesus died for us. Each one of us. Not just say, oh, yeah, he died for that lady over there or that bloke over there. He died for you. And why did he die for you? Because you and I are sinners. We say, well, I don't, you know, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a thief, I'm not this, I'm not that. You know, there will be sin in your life. Because there's only been one sinless person on this planet, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have spoken against somebody. We will have been a bit, some of us might have had, you know, been a bit economical with the truth about our expenses. We will have raged at somebody who cut us up at the roundabout. We will have done, you know, we will have gone up 31 miles an hour in a 30 zone. I bet there's very few in here who've got completely clean licences. I have. I have, because I don't drive. There's a few of us. But the reality is that we, you know, at times, all of us. And you know what? We need to recognise that Jesus died for us. For all, whatever those sins are. Some might be, in the world's eyes, there's big sins and little sins, and God's eyes is sin. He doesn't say, oh, that's a little sin, I'll let them off. Or that's a big sin, oh, no way. Sin is sin. And it's Jesus died for us to deal with that. Secondly, if we recognise that we're sinners, we need to repent and believe what God has done. Believe the gospel message that through repentance, belief, faith, we can be forgiven. We can have a brand new start. We can receive a gift of salvation. Don't earn it. We receive it as a gift. Amen? No good having a gift if you don't unwrap it. God has given us a gift of salvation. Let's embrace it. Let's rejoice in it. Receive his gift of salvation. Repent, believe, receive. And you say, well, he might not give the gift to me. I'm not good enough. No, if you come to him with faith and say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I'm sorry for the things I've done. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be your friend, Jesus. I want to live my life to your glory and to your praise and to your honour. Then Jesus will never, ever turn you away. He'll never say, well, yeah, I'll save your brother, but I won't save you. You know? If you've come in faith, if the Holy Spirit has begun to speak to your heart to say, you need the gift of God, you need the gift of salvation, then Jesus will give you that gift. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. It's a, you know, as they say in some circles, it's a done deal. Because Jesus has offered it, Jesus has paid for the gift, and Jesus can deliver the gift through his Holy Spirit to your heart, even tonight. So let's receive his gift. And having received his gift, rejoice. I keep using this word, but you can't get away from it. Rejoice. You're part of God's family. Rejoice. You're part of his eternal family. The Bible tells us this, it's a family that's so big that nobody could ever count them all up. Even if you've got big fancy calculators and supercomputers, you'll never be able to number God's family. For every tribe and nation and background and age, and yeah, it's wonderful. You're part of a, you can be part of a great eternal family. Isn't that the best news? For some, they may feel they're friendless. You know what? That old hymn, "What a friend I have in Jesus," is absolutely right. He's the best friend you could ever have. To those who are lonely, he's the one who will come alongside you and never leave you or forsake you. For those who feel troubled, he's the one who says, "And I give you my peace, a peace the world cannot give." To those who are sick, he says, "I am the God that healeth thee." Amen? And let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Now, looking here tonight, I think most of us if not all, have given our hearts to God. What I want us to do is to rejoice about it. What I also want us to do is to do some of this proclamation I talked about. And I've only got a few, but if